Kisavo, Tavshin Ayin Ches. Yeah. So we're going to try and talk about the source of Simcha in general, and Simcha B'mitzvahs, and even Mitzvah Shein, a little bit Simcha B'tshuva. So it says here in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Mem Vav, it says, V'hoyu b'chal os ulamofes, right? It'll be an os and a mofes. Uvizaracha adolam. It'll be like a symbol. It'll be the what is this talking about? It's talking about all the disasters that are befalling the Jewish people. All the horrible events. They will be an os and a mofes. Uvizaracha adolam. Uvizaracha adolam.
How do you say a mofes? What's that?
How would you translate that, Doug?
Wonder.
A wonder. An os, a sign, a symbol, yeah. And a wonder. Yeah. Ubizaracha, and in your children, adolam, forever. But that's, how can you get rested forever? Forever? So Chasam Sofer writes a very interesting thing here. He says, V'hoyu v'chol os l'mofes v'zaracha adolam, zeu bracha l'fi aklola. It's a bracha that emanates from the klola. She'elu aklolo so yimatsu b'Yisrael olam. These klolos won't be found in the Jewish people forever. Al derech mikre. But in a fashion of mikre. In other words, it'll be so obvious that this is Hashem's hashgacha when these events take place, so it will, as it were, the Jewish people once again be the vehicle for revealing Hashem's hashgacha, his providence in the world, his divine providence in the world, even when they're being punished for their misbehavior, as it were. In other words, it'll never look like it's normal. It'll never be standard, right? The things that happen to the Jewish people are never standard. Just like our survival is not standard, right? Like, remember the Anshe Knesset, like Dola said that the Midah of Nora of Hashem is seen in the world after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash through the survival of the Jewish people. The suffering of the Jewish people is not standard. Right? It's just not standard. The things that happen to the Jewish people are not standard. Recall, the Jews are besieged and tormented and in so many different ways, and such ways which defy really, you know, all forms of logic. Like, what's the purpose of why do people do it, etc., etc., etc. So that itself, right, will show that life is not mikra, is not chance. Sorry about it. Right. This is during the time of when they're in Gullus, when we're suffering, right? It'll never be al derech mikra teva umaka mahaleches. It'll never be just a standard thing. Kilo olam haKadosh Baruch Hu yashgiach al amo. For in the normal circumstance, haKadosh Baruch Hu will always be mashgiach upon his nation mikol ra. V'leimotzem hem lo olam el adera osu mofes. When things go wrong for them, it's going to go wrong for them in a fashion which is so wondrous to point out that God's hand once again is over here. So it will always be lo olam, right? It'll always be lo olam. In other words, whenever they step out of line, God forbid, and the punishment, as it were, it will be a punishment. No one will assume that just a regular punishment. It's not just, you know, like the nationalistic fights that take place in Africa every Monday and Thursday, you know, this tribe against that tribe, you know, we want to conquer that, you want to conquer that, we want this piece of land, you want that piece of land, etc., etc. It will always be, yeah, clear that the Jewish people are being singled out uniquely because they are their Bnei Hashem's people.
So what you're saying is everything that happens to the Jewish people
is always hashgacha.
Always hashgacha.
And
it's going to be such a way that
it'll be clear that it's hashgacha.
Clear that it's
Right, it's clear that it's Hashem. Again, everything that happens to the world is Hashem's will, right? Everything that happens to the world, everything that happens in the Hashem's world. But under normal circumstances, what happens to most of the world is really part of a pattern of the evolution of the world. I don't mean evolution, you know, the Brit quote, you know, industrial melanism, you know, where moths turn different colors because they live near factories or stuff like that. Or I'm not talking about Darwin. I'm talking about the world has to take a certain talich, it has to take a certain path, and all of that is the will of Hashem. And there, the main driving force behind everything that happens is this is the way Hashem wants the world to unfold. That's what I refer to it as evolution, right? Even though it's not what we traditionally call evolution, okay? But with regard to the Jewish people, the main spring, right, of the watch of the Jewish people is not just how things are going to unfold, but it always is linked to their behavior, right? Because we accepted the Torah, and our relationship with the Torah means that everything that happens to us is determined by our relationship with the Torah. Be it l'tov or be it l'mutav, whether it's good or, God forbid, not so happy, etc. So that's what I mean by hashgacha, because everything is Hashem's will. But I'm talking about the hashgacha pratis, right? When we say, for instance, in a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, so the Gra says, when we say Elokeinu, that means Hashem is mashgiach upon, he's Elokim Shalanu. Oh, he's not Elokim of the whole world, he is also Elokim of the whole world. We call Elokim because he's mashgiach alina v'hashgacha pratis, and when he's called Melech Olam, he's mashgiach on the Olam in what we call hashgacha klolis. In other words, it's all coming from him. The hashgacha pratis aspect is dependent upon our relationship, our linkage to him through the Torah. No other nation has that, but no other nation accepted the Torah. So therefore, the main driving force in what Hashem has happened to them is called hashgacha klolis. There's a plot. You got to fit it. You're fitting into the plot. As it were, changing the plot, we could use the terminology, even though it's not really changing, but the plot modifies according to your behavior on a very fine-tuned level, that's only present by the Jewish people. So now, so that's what the Chassam Sofer says, and that reminds us of the story that we've talked about before, the story from the Gemara in Ksubis, yeah, about when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking outside the walls, right? That's the next paragraph right here. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking outside the walls of Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, I guess after the time of the Churban, right? Otherwise, he wasn't able to walk outside the walls. He was a Talmidim, right? We know that he had great difficulty getting outside the walls when we were still besieged by the Romans. This must be talking about after the destruction. And there he finds a young girl, as it were, picking out barley seeds from the fecal matter of a chamor that belonged to an Arab. And as he passes with his Talmidim, she looks up at him and she says, Rebbe Parnaseni, feed me. And he says to her, he says, do I know you? He says, don't you recognize me? She says to him, I'm the daughter of Nachdiman Ben-Gurion, right? I'm the daughter of Nachdiman Ben-Gurion, who was one of the three wealthiest men, right, in Yerushalayim. He was one of the people who helped support, or technically had the zealots not destroyed the warehouses of supplies that they had. They had had enough both of oil and what he called it, flour and what he called it, of wood, etc., to what he called to manage the siege for many, 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 many years. But the zealots destroyed it. They wanted everybody to fight, etc., which is a story in its own right. But anyway, he was one of the three wealthiest men who helped supply that. And now she's picking out, right? Picking out pieces of barley, which is generally animal food, out of the fecal matter, which we don't have to talk about, that came from a chamor that belonged to an Arab. So she says, do you remember how much you signed on my ksuba? And of course, it was a spectacular amount, right? And this is what she's been reduced to. And he turns his eyes, you know, heavenward. He says, Ashreichem Yisrael, you know, authenticator of the Jewish people. When we do the will of Hashem, then there is no nation, there is no tongue. Yeah, that can have dominion over us. And when we don't do what we call the Ratzon Hashem, we don't have a standard place upon which to stand in the world. We don't have a standard place. And if we fall, until we fall into the hands, not of our enemies, we fall into the hands of a lowly nation, not just into the lowly nation, but into the fecal matter of the low animals that belong to that lowly nation, etc. So the Jewish people are always treated, right, treated in a way which makes Hashem's divine providence upon them evident. So that's what Chassam Sofer taught us in that pasuk. Okay. Now, next we'll get to the point of Simcha here. In Perek Chof Ches also, right, just another pasuk, yeah, after the one that we just did Vem Vav, now in Mem Zayin, says, Tachas asher lo'avaratzas Hashem elokecha b'simcha uv'tuv levav mirov kol. This happens to you, right? All this horror happens to you, tachas, in place, asher lo avarata, you do not serve as Hashem elokecha, the Hashem, you would call it your God, besimcha, in happiness, betuv levav, with a heart filled with goodness, mirov kol, yeah, from a stance of bounty, mirov kol. So what does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay, so we're going to see. So we're going to see the different ways to approach this pasuk. It's really a fascinating pasuk. Rashi says, right? Rashi says, Merov kol ba'od shahaya lecha kol tuv. So Rashi says, how do you read the pasuk? This is happening to you, right? In place of the fact that you weren't oved, and as you'd had opportunity to be oved Hashem, b'simcha, in happiness and rejoicing, retuv levav, with the expansiveness of the heart, merov kol, while you had all good bestowed upon you, you could have been being oved Hashem when times were good, and you didn't. You weren't oved Hashem when times were good, and the result is you don't have the opportunity anymore. Instead, you're in a state of what he called of torment, and you have nothing anymore in your pocket. There's nothing there. So that's what Rashi understands it. This is what the Meshech Chachma understands it. This is an unbelievable insight, and it's going to take us, hopefully down some very interesting paths. Meshech Chachma says, Tachas asher lo avarata es Hashem lokecha betuv levav merov kol. Vasibal is
that part of the pasuk of Mem Zion?
Yeah, right. That's the pasuk of Mem Zion, right? Vasibal is it. What is the reason for this? Shelo avadata. He says the pasuk is explaining, right? Umachmas shahaya lecha simcha v'tuv levav may rov kol. Right. In other words, he's reading the pasuk. Tachas shelo avadata Hashem Elokecha. All the disasters, right, are happening to you now in this tochacha, in this story of the destruction that befalls the Jewish people. Why? Because your simcha and your two levav, your rejoicing and your gladness of heart came merov kol, came from your financial success, you're being surrounded by pleasures. Again, tachas asher lo avarata es Hashem Elokecha, right? Bisimcha uvetuv levav merov kol. Why? And he says the second half of the pasuk is explaining, right, why you weren't oved as Hashem Elokecha. Because your besimcha, the tuv levav, came merov kol. Right? Not the way Rashi explained it. Rashi explained it, you had an opportunity to serve God with joy and gladness of heart when you had everything going for you. You blew the opportunity, and the result is now you're in a state of torment. The Meshech Chacham is explaining, why did you wind up in this mess? Why were you not oved as Hashem? Because your simcha and tuv levav was merov kol. Right. In other words, the reason why you weren't over to Hashem is because what made you happy and what gave you gladness of heart was the fact that you had a lot of financial success and you were surrounded by pleasure. Vasibel says the Meshech Chachma, Shelo avadata, hu machmas shahaya lecha simcha v'tuv levav merov kol. Right? The fact that you weren't oved as Hashem, right, is what? Is because your gladness, your happiness, your joy, and your gladness of heart came mirov kol. Val tismach Yisrael el gil ha'amim, like the pasuk says in Hosea, that the Jewish people shouldn't rejoice in the way that the nations of the world rejoice. They rejoice, when they've got, a Lexus, and a Jag in the wood quarter in the garage, and they got that Lamborghini in the driveway, etc. Shemiribu yatova smeichim. Life is good. Life is good. Right? So be happy. Why not? Life is good. Lochei nasan lecha Hashem. But that's not the way Hashem gave you this life. It doesn't mean you have to, live in privation, but you have to live satisfied with what Hashem gives you. Right? Baharov kol misimcha v'tuv leivav. Tuv leiv. You hear this? This is fascinating. In other words, the wrong approach is where your simcha comes from tuv leivav and mirov kol. Instead, what it should be is from your simcha will come tuv leivav and rov kol. From your simcha, from your authentic simcha in receiving from Hashem, then Hashem will bless you. And there's the two ways to screw your head on. You can either screw it on right, you can screw it on wrong. You can look at the world that the only way I'll ever be happy is if I have, what do you call it, if I have lots, right? And that's the approach of the Gentile world, right? Happiness comes from success, happiness comes from bounty, happiness comes from pleasure, etc. And the Jewish approach that Pasuk is saying over here, according to the Meshech Chachma, is that it's the opposite. You would have recall, you could have a Rov Tuv, yeah? You could have what he called all these things, but they have to emanate as a result of your being over Hashem B'Simcha, of being happy with whatever Hashem gives you. And like it says early in the Parsha, which we'll look at in just a moment, joy should come out of the fact that you feel that whatever you have in life, you feel it as emanating, yeah, from a sense of your closeness to Hashem. That's what he called, that's where your joy comes from. Ezo asher sameach bechelko. If it's the other way around, right, that I can only be happy if I have all these things, then that's al tismach Yisrael gil ha'amim. Don't rejoice the way the Gentile world rejoices. It has to be the other way around. One rejoices in one's closeness, right? What one receives from Hashem and perceives and experiences that whatever he has from the Rabbonu Shel Olam, that gives him joy. And then, Seder and Echrami, he'll get what he called, he'll get more bracha and more bracha and more bracha by Yisrael Hashem. But it can't be the other way around.
Reminds me about the Gemara with the guy with the golden table.
Which one?
This guy, because he honored Shabbos.
Ah, okay, right. So, but the priorities have to be straight. So let's look at that pasuk there for a second. Right, the pasuk that he described for us. It says, "V'samachta b'chol atov, asher nasan l'cha Hashem l'kecho l'veischa, atov alevi v'ager asher b'kibecha." This is the way that a Jew's head is supposed to be screwed on straight. That's Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's the beginning of the Parsha. And where, in what context is that being brought?
I said
that was different than the time. What? Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right? Now, that's really cool. That's one that the Meshech Chachma cites. In other words, saying the wrong approach is Tachas Yesher Lo Avaratas Hashem Elokecha. Why? Because you recall V'simcha V'tuv Leivos was Rirov Kol, right? Why weren't you over Hashem? Because the only way that you were attracted towards Simcha and Tuv Leivos was only when you had Rirov Kol, because you had all sorts of good things in your life. And the way that your head should have been screwed on is the way it's written in Perek Chavav Pasuk Yud Aleph. There's this v'samach v'chol atov. You will rejoice in all the good. Asher nasan l'cha, the experience of feeling that you're getting it from Hashem, right? L'Hashem l'kechol l'veischa, to you and your household, atav alevi v'ager, you and your household and the levi and the ger, asher begebecha in your midst. That's the last pasuk in Parsha's Bikurim. And there's the very first topic in the Parsha is Bikurim. First fruits, bring to Yerushalayim. A whole paragraph is read there, right? Remembering how Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, brought us to Eretz Yisrael, gave us this land, and now I'm bringing my first fruits before the Rabbonu Shalom, etc. Bringing my first fruits before the Board of the Rabbonu Shalom. And the last pasuk in Parshas Bikurim is, V'samachta b'chol atov, and you rejoice in all the tov. Asher nasan lecha Hashem Elokecha. You're rejoicing in the fact that Hashem is giving it to you. Leveischa, and to your household, and to the Levi, and to the Ger, because you're going to share, etc. with them, you'll take care of them, bikirbechu, we're in your midst. That's Perek Chavav Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's also here on the, what do you call it, the source sheet, right after the Meshech Chachma, right? Kikurim. That's Pashmi.
Well, talking about joy
has to do with Bechorim. So I'm saying, what do you call the Meshech Chachma was talking about a Pasuk and why we get messed up, why we get the Onish. Why? Because we weren't over Hashem. Why weren't we over Hashem? Because our Simcha and Tuv Levav, our rejoicing and our gladness of heart only came Mirov Kol, only came what do you call it, but we had, you know, our five cars in the driveway, etc. That's where we got our Simcha Tuv Levav from. So that's why we weren't over Hashem. Because like we know, Eidon Ames V'chatzi Tavaso B'yado, even once you get it, you always need something else. And if he doesn't need something else, the person's never happy. He's never an Izo Asher Sameach B'chelko. Because if the driving force behind his happiness is his success, so he's always, as it were, yeah, greedy for more success. So he's never happy. Right? I mean, if he is happy, it's only just, it's a temporary happiness. Right? It's a mirage of happiness. It's like a person who's an addict. Right? He's an addict. Right? When he's, you know, after he's injected himself or snorted or whatever he's done, right? So that he's on a high. He's a high. Would you say that person is like, you know, that's it? That's the pinnacle of success? No, because once the effects begin to wear off, so then what do you call it? Then there's a deep trough, right? Then you feel really empty. Then you got to shoot up again, right? You have to shoot up again. So, and whatever you do, that's why unfortunately we find lots of people die of overdoses, right? Even not intentional overdoses. Why? Because they're trying to keep the crests as close together as possible, so they don't have to experience the troughs. Because since it really is all it is really a mirage. All it is a mirage. So you have to try and keep the crest together to give you this false experience of that you're really always happy, but you're not really happy at all, etc. But if samachta b'chol atov asher nasan lecha Hashem Elokecha, right? When a person rejoices in his connection to Hashem, whatever he gives him, so he's always rejoicing because there's not a moment where he's detached from his source of rejoicing. It's true people have aliyahs and yeridos, right? But he's never detached from the source of his joy. The source of his joy is as close as Hashem. That never abates, right? Never abates. But when a person is requires external stimuli to make him happy, so the external stimuli are not always present. And even they do implant electrodes in the pleasure centers of one's brain, right, etc. That's what we also know is fake. It's not real. So at any event, so that's what he called. So now, let's continue on. We went back to the beginning of the Parsha. We just did the last pasuk in Bikurim. The next discussion in the Chumash, right after that, is the Parsha of Bir Maisros. So the end of the third year, right, the sixth year, after 3 years of what he called of the Shemitah cycle, and after we recall it, then again in after this next 3 years, right, we go through the ceremony of Bir Maestros, where we come to the Beis HaMikdash, we make a declaration that we did everything that was necessary with regard to Trumas and Maestros, etc., 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 right? We go through this whole thing. And there, in Pasuk Tes Zayin, again, this is the second topic in the Parsha. The first topic in the Parsha is Bikurim, those are your first fruits. Right, the second topic, something that takes place later. Right, Bikurim is every year. Whenever you have first fruits, the tekes, the ceremony of Bir Maisers, take place only after 3 years. Everybody caught in the Truma Maiser Shemitah cycle. So we're talking about at the end of a cycle. So there it says in Pasuk Tes Zayin, right. It says, where is it? Chav Vav Tes Zayin. It says, Hayom Azeh, Hashem Elokecha, this day, Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha la'asos esko es achukim ha'ele ves ha'meshpatim v'shamarta v'asisim osam v'chol avavcha chol nafshecha. Right after the conclusion of the tekes of Bir Maestros, so the Torah makes a declaration, this day Hashem commands you to do all the chukim ha'ele ves ha'meshpatim Oh, the statutes, pretty cool. The civil laws, the Shamata, Vasisa, you'll learn about it in order to be able to do it properly. The Cholavavcha of all your heart and all your soul. So now, says the Medrash Tanchuma on this Pasuk. Hayom Hazeh, Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha La'azos.
What Pasuk number was that?
That was Tes Zion. Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tes Zion.
On the sheet?
Yeah. Right there, right? Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tes Zion. Hayom Hazeh, it's after the bolded Pesukim, right? Hayom Hazeh, smack dab in the middle. Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha La'azos, it's Hachukim, Ha'elev, it's Mishpatim, it's Shamata, Vasisa, Osam, B'chol Avav, B'chol Nafshecha. So says the Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma. Hayom hazeh Hashem lekechem etzavcho la'asos. Zeu she'omra kosov bo nishtachaveh v'nichro'o nivrecho lifnei Hashem oseinu. What we're going to say tonight in Kabbalah Shabbos. Bo, let's come and bow and record and bend ourselves, prostrate ourselves before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Three different terminologies. Nishtachaveh, right? V'nichro'o. V'nivrecha, all different forms of bowing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to say it tonight in Kabbalah Shabbos. V'alo kriya b'chlal ishtachavayu, ishtachavayu b'chlal kriya. Why three different terminologies for bowing, or right before the Ribbono Shel Olam? Uma talmud lomar, nishtachaveh, nichra'o, nivrecha. Why does it say three different terminologies? El atzofa Moshe b'ruach HaKodesh. Right? The Medrash is talking about an hayom hazeh. This day, what's it referring to, this day? It's saying, it's referring to that every day is this day. Every day in the future is going to be this day. Hashem is what he called, Hashem is, as it were, is going to command you to do something that you will keep you attached to his Torah and mitzvos with all your heart and will of your soul. And what is that? Tzafa Moshe b'ruach HaKodesh. Moshe peered out, yeah, with Ruach HaKodesh. V'ra'a shebeis HaMikdash asid lichorev. He saw the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. V'habikurim asidim lipasek. And there will no longer be a mitzvah of bikurim. No Beis HaMikdash. No Beis HaMikdash. Amad v'hiskin l'Yisrael shiu mispalim shlosha pamim b'chol yom. So the Medrash says, the reason why there's three terminologies in this pasuk that we're going to say tonight in Kabbalah Shabbos, bo nishtachaveh v'nichro'o v'nivrecha'o, right? Why three terminologies? It's a remez to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu saw there was something special in the midst of Bikurim, and once the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, the Jewish people would be missing that special part of their existence. And in order to make up for the lack of Bikurim, Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, instituted, right, that the Jewish people should pray three times a day. And as Tefillah has the capacity to take the place or to fill in the deficiency that we have for lack of Bikurim. What is that?
Moshe instituted it three times a day. I thought it was the Rambam.
The Anshei Knesset HaGdol. So here we see the record that this Medrash brings down, that there's a record remez that Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. The Nusach for sure, is from the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. That goes without saying. And this, you're right, this Medrash is a Chiddush. The Medrash is a Chiddush, because really, min haTorah, we know, let's say, according to the Ramban, min haTorah, there is no chiyuv to daven every day. Because the person should be plugged into the basics of tefillah just automatically by keeping the six, constant commandments. According to the Ramban, nonetheless, the Torah itself instituted the requirement to pray every day, so the person, min haTorah, has to screw his head on straight, right, once a day. Right? And the idea of three times a day is clearly, what he called, is clearly rabbinic in source. So all the, no halachic source says that what he called three times, what he called, are what he called, minat Torah.
So wait, Bikurim, we only offer once or twice a year.
What? Bikurim is once a year,
right? Once a year, so how does that
come
to three times a year?
Oh, so, what would he have to say? That whatever we experience, right? Remember, the reason we want the Beis HaMikdash back, the Beis HaMikdash had an incredible koach, right? It's not just, you know, we have a deep need to have this, what do you call this, religious abattoir, right, in our midst. Right? The Beis HaMikdash had the incredible koach to transform a person. Yonah walked into the Beis HaMikdash, a regular person, and Yonah walked out of the Beis HaMikdash, a Navi. Right? People were transformed by going to the Beis HaMikdash. The experience, by walking into the presence of Shekhinah. We don't have that anymore.
So what do they do with Bikurim?
The experience of what he called of bringing Bikurim and what he called and then speaking out the Parsha Bikurim, right? This sense of recognition that Hashem is the source of everything that I have,
right.
Which that's what he called. That was powerful, so powerful, and so, as it were, magnified by the experience of being in the Beis Hamikdash, right? I'm sorry? Not everybody's named a Navi. Yonah became a Navi, but it transformed the person. It accomplished something for that person that the only way that Moshe could make up for it was being merames, let's say, right? The need to daven three times a day. Maybe an institute as a chiyuv, right? Whatever the case is, and is how we'll put together this medrash with the actual development of the chiyuv of saying Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, right? There, that needs the discussion. So it says the Sfasemes, right? Not the Sfasemes here, Sfasemes someplace else. He says what he called in Matos, right? It says Zeh Iker Avodas Hashem. No, about Tefillah here. We're going to see by from Tefillah how Tefillah, as it were, has the capacity, yeah, to accomplish for us that which Bikurim did, yeah, by a Jew coming to the Beis Hamikdash once with his Bikurim during the year. Ki Zeh Iker Avodas Hashem. Ki Abori Yisbarach Bara Olam Beteva. Beteva. Like, remember, we've already discussed before the word Hateva is Gematria Elokim. Right, 86. Hateva is Gematria Elokim with the Hei Narakuf. Ki Abori Yisbarach Bara Olam Beteva. Umuchan Lechol Echad Lefi Mazolo. Everybody's got a mazel. Everybody's got a mazel. In other words, those are the package, the nature-nurture package that every person receives, and that's what he's going to have in his lifetime. What he's going to look like, the experiences he's going to have, right? Will he be wealthy? Will he not be wealthy? What his appearance will be? Everything is all laid out beforehand. And Derech Agav, right? Chazal say the person signs off on it also, right? Hashem says, is that acceptable to you? And we say yes. We say yes.
So you use the same pasuk you did last week. Same midrash?
This is what he called this Sfasemes.
You said last week.
Right.
What's the pasuk that was going on?
I don't remember what contest we were talking about. I mean, it wasn't, again, it's not from this parsha of Echlal, it's not even last week's parsha, it's from Bamidbar. Right? Ki Abori Yisbarach Bara Olam.
It had to do with free will last week.
Right, right. It's all what he called. It's all laid out before him.
Parapet. The person's going to die, he's going to die.
Right, right. Maka, right. Right, we talked about it there.
So why are you bringing that in at the end? I can't be using more than once. It's not really the more. If I use it once, but I ain't using it again.
It's amazing how Divrei Torah can actually be used in different contexts. It's wondrous. Ki Abori Yisbarach Bara Olam B'teva Umuchan Lechol Echad Lefi Mazalo. Avo B'nei Yisrael Trichim Lahalos Hakol Elav Yisbarach Lemalem In Amazal. Betzarach Shi Harotzon Lekabel Matna Shamayim Ubekoach HaTorah V'azu Dover Shal Kayama. Right? And as the idea is that you're getting it all. You're getting it all, right? You could be receiving, two people, this is what we talked about last week. Last week the focus is on the two people could wind up having what appears to be exactly the same thing, right? It appears to be the exact same thing.
Okay.
But one person has transformed it into a tool of Avodas Hashem, right? And the other person is just receiving it as part of the stage props of his life, right? He hasn't transformed it into anything. That's what we talked about in the context last week, about how everything's going to be plotted out beforehand.
And you sign off on it.
Right, and you sign off on it, etc. But
any
event, we'll ignore that. They would call it
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Okay. So anyways, the point over here is I brought a silencer with me. Okay. Where's Bugsy Malone when I need him? At any event. So here the point is, right, that through your tefillah,
yes,
what you've done is you have concretized that what you receive is from Hashem, and that's what you want. You want that whatever you receive should be an indication of your connection to Hashem. That's why you've davened, you've imprinted with your tefillah signature on everything you receive. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, as the Medrash says, that Tanakh instituted, right? Where it said that in the future you're going to need three tefillos. Maybe that's the way he taught it. In the future, when there's no Bikurim anymore, you're going to need three tefillos. You're going to need three tefillos a day in order to accomplish what Bikurim is able to accomplish for you one experience a year. You're going to need three tefillos a day to hardwire that into yourself, that sense of closeness to Hashem, that whatever you have is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? Fine. So that's the pasuk right after Bir Maisos. Remember, the first topic in Kisavo is Bikurim. The second topic in Parshas Kisavo is Bir Maisos, right? You make the declaration that you took care of all your Trumas and Maisos, etc., properly. Nachon? Bikurim is what he called every year, whenever you have first fruits. Bir Maisos takes place twice in the Shemitah cycle. At the end of what he called of having gone through a 3-year cycle of Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, then you go what he called, then the following time you recall the year, you go through Bir Maisos. So this happens only a couple of times in the 7-year cycle. Only happens twice in the 7-year cycle. So now, this next pasuk, it says Hashkifa Mimon Kotchecha, the next to last citation on page 1. It says Hashkifa Mimon Kotchecha, peer out from your dwelling, yeah, of holiness, Hashem, min haShamayim, from the heavens. Uvareches amcha es Yisrael, and bless your people, bless the Jewish people. Ves adoma, and the land, asher nasata lanu, that you have given to us. Kasher nishbata lavoseinu, as you swore to our forefathers, eretz zava haskola v'udvash. Okay? This appears, right, as we see, this is the last pasuk in Bir Maisos. Right, remember the first topic is Bikurim. Right. The first topic is Bikurim. The second topic is Bir Maisos, right? Bir Maisos takes place twice in the 7-year cycle. And the last pasuk in Bir Maisos is Ashkifa, this pasuk, peer out from your holy abode, yeah, from the heavens.
What do we say in the part of the declaration that you
promised? That we did, basically, we took care of our Trumas and Maisos properly. We gave it to who we were supposed to say we were Mafreshim, we gave it to who we were supposed to give it to, etc. We don't keep anything in our houses that doesn't belong there any longer, etc.
Is that an oath or a shavuah?
No, it's a declaration. It's a statement. You know, it's a wearing cone. If you didn't do it right, you can't say it. So, in any event, so says Rashi at the end, Hashkifa mon kachacha, peer out from your heavenly abode. Shasina mashagazart aleinu. We have done that which you have commanded us to do. Aseata, now you do mashalecha lasos, which is that which is incumbent upon you. Shamarta im bechukosai tileichu, that you said to us that if we conduct ourselves in your path, right, pashas bechukosai, v'nasati gishmechem v'itam, I will give your reins at the right time, and all the brachas that are written in the first part of bechukosai, etc. Asher nasata lanu kasher nishbat avoseinu, that you gave to us as you swore to our fathers, and Eretz Yisrael you gave to us as you swore to our fathers, lasik lanu v'kiyamta Eretz Zavas Cholud Vash. You gave us Eretz Zavas Cholud Vash, and now it's appropriate that you give us bounty also, because why? Because our heads are screwed on straight, right? We have built our closeness with us. Okay, so now again on that next pasuk. That next pasuk, we go back to that next pasuk again. The pasuk that we just read before, that was the pasuk right after Bir Maisos. Hayom azeh Hashem elokecha mitzavcha lasos achuki me'ele mes mishpatim v'shamarta v'asisa osam b'chol avavcha chol nafshecha. Says Rashi over there, b'chol yom yubeinecha chadoshim. Right? Every day, whatever Hashem commands you should feel like it's new. Okay? Ki v'yom nitzaveis aleim, as though today you received what he calls the commandment. V'shamarta v'asisa osam, right? And you should guard them, and you should fulfill them. Bas kol mivarchoso, right? V'shamarta v'asisa osam is a bracha, right? Afterward, every day, if required, we're talking here at the conclusion of the Bir Maisos ceremony. V'shamarta v'asisa osam, bas kol mivarchoso. A bas kol comes out of heaven. After you finish saying this, right, and says, "Hey, Vesa Bikurim, you brought Bikurim Hayom, Tishane Lishana Abba, you should bring it the next year." What? Bikurim? We're not in Bikurim, we're in Bir Maisos. The pasuk Hashkifa Mon Kachecha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu peer out upon us from your heavenly abode and bless us, is said in Bir Maisers. That's twice in the 7-year cycle. And there's a Batsko coming out and saying, you should bring Bikurim, just like you brought Bikurim, right? You brought Bikurim this year, you should bring Bikurim the next year. Give me a bracha, you should be alive and bring Bikurim the next year. So now. Well, I understand, but the Maisers we're talking here in Bir Maisers, not in what he called in Bikurim. Not in Bikurim. Oh, okay. Okay. Says, right? Says.
All your fruits, all your vegetables are going to come again, and you're going to be bounty.
Says the way he called, says the Sfasemes, right? Says Sfasemes. We'll skip the Medrash there. Says the Sfasemes. For Medrash, Zeh Shemevi Bikurim Omen Vavakesh Va'ad Kol Yisrael. Right? Here's the guy. He brings Bikurim, says the Medrash. And he asks for the Jewish people. Right, for the Jewish people, that they should be blessed, etc., etc., etc. Certainly Rashi brought down, just it's a little bit more, you know, spoken out inside the Medrash. He says, Hagam shezeh nichtav mitzvahs bir maisris. Says the Sfasemes, this pasuk is not written in Bikurim, it's written in bir maisris. Beferish ki sechalel aser, aval nira ki kol hamitzvos trumos maisris ad sofa bir akol tolui b'mitzvahs bikurim. She mitzvah rishona. All the mitzvos that we do during the Shemitah, the Maaser, Truma Maaser cycle of all the first 3 years and then the next 3 years, etc., is all built upon the foundation that we laid in Bikurim. Right? The foundation that we laid in Bikurim.
All the mitzvahs are the 7-year cycle?
Right.
Concerning
our care, our concern, our being medactic in the mitzvahs, all were built upon what we call upon Bikurim. Because we brought the Bikurim with simcha that Hashem gave us what He gave us. Right? We have simcha in what Hashem gave us, that which He gave us. And therefore, we continue keeping all the mitzvahs because we want to maintain what we call our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because that's the source of our gladness. After we finished what the Sfasemes is telling us over here, after we finished all of that cycle, then we can say and confirm, Hashem, now bless us more. Right? We start off with, yeah, the Bikurim process, or when we don't have Bikurim, through the Tefillah process, of reminding ourselves over and over and over again that whatever we have is from Hashem. And that's a source of gladness for us. That's a source of simcha for us. Once that's been imprinted, yeah, hardwired onto our hearts, right? That where is the source of our gladness? Where is the source of our simcha? Our sense of closeness to Hashem, that whatever He gives us, but we know He's the one who's giving it to us, the one who's taking care of us. After that's hardwired in us, then we can turn to Hashem and say, now give us even more. Now give us even more. Because my source of simcha is not the more that I have. The source of simcha I have is my closest to you. The more that I have is just a further tirish Hashem, that Hashem wants to, what He called, take care of His people and give them better opportunities. Right? And more harchavas hadas, what He called, a broader outlook, not to have to be worried about where they're going to get this or that or the next thing, etc. But that can't be the source of my simcha. The source of my simcha is the closeness that I established during Bikurim. Or when there is no Bikurim, that I established through my tefillah. And that we also mentioned, right? When we talked about, the idea, the next Sfasemes, the idea of the one that's not from here, it's from Parshas Pinchas, the idea of the concept of, like, we're going to say in davening tomorrow, Tmidim kisidram, umusafim kilchasam. And the Sfasemes there talks about the idea that the Tmidim kisidram is the form of tefillah, right? The form of tefillah of where Tmidim, the korbanos, korban tummy, kisidrum, like the seder, like the order. And as our davening is like the tummid, and the tummid's job
that
is
was set up by Lansi,
right. And the tummid's job is to stamp that whatever we receive from Hashem, we know it's from Hashem. And there's the seder, the order, right? Just like we said, the whole world is being sustained by God's will. But who's going to stamp upon that which man receives that this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than just assuming that's the way the world is? So the Jewish people give the Korban Tamid every day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. We daven, Shachos and Mincha, Tamidim Kisidrum, to stamp upon everything we receive that it's all from the Borei Olam. Umusafim Kihilchasam, the concept of Musaf means more. more. And as once I've, as it were, I've established, I've hardwired, I've ingrained upon myself that whatever I have, I receive from Hashem, and that's the most important thing to me, that I should recognize and I should declare, and that should be my experience, that what I have from Hashem, and I shouldn't forget that. Then, umusafim kilchasam. Now my tefillah, as it were, brings down more shefa. Hosafa, musaf, extra. Kilchasam. Like the halachos. Like the Sfar Sema says, as I conduct my life according to the halachos of Hashem, as I walk through life, as I advance in life, I'm not static. Jews meet all different types of people, or all different types of experiences, and come into contact with all different types of objects. As they sanctify them, as they walk through life, as they, what do you call, they travel from the time they're born, right, until the time that they leave this world, they, as it were, are sanctifying Hashem's name. Based upon that, send this bounty. Musaf, ki hilchasam. Musaf kil chasam.
Didn't the people used to name their kids Musaf?
Not that I know of. Maybe. Not that I'm familiar with.
Aaron?
We'll ignore that also. I can't believe Bugsy missed you the last time. fine. Next. Rabbeinu Bachya. Simcha in mitzvahs.
Is that a Sfas Emes you just did?
Yeah. Right. Now, simcha in mitzvos. Now let's look at what Rabbeinu Bachya reads the pasuk of Tachas Asher Lovaratas Hashem Lokecha B'simcha V'tuv Leivov Mirov Kol. We did this for Rabbeinu Bachya before, in years previous.
You're going to relate all this now to Bechorim?
Yeah, it's the same pasuk. Tachas Asher Lovaratas. Well, no, actually, I shouldn't say this. Not to Bechorim. This is in the Tochacha. Right? This is the pasuk we started off with. We said, remember, we had Rashi said, no, Tachas Asher Lo Avarata Hashem Lokecha, right? That's which citation? That's, I mean, you should number them. That would make it easier. Right? You see that? Mem Zayin. See it? Mem Zayin? Tachas Asher Lo Avarata Hashem Lokecha, the Simcha Tuvla, right into it says, what is the source of my Simcha? You see that? Right? That pasuk there. So Rashi said, you could have kept the, what he called, you could have, you know, kept the you could have been over Hashem when you had everything. You didn't do it, and therefore you got, what you would call, now you have nothing. The Meshech Chachma said, the reason why you weren't over Hashem is because your worldview was one that Simcha only emanated from when you had plenty. And therefore you had a messed up outlook on the world. And therefore the result is, what he called, the result is, you weren't over Hashem. You should have been happy. Your happiness should have been derived from your sense of closeness to Hashem, not from what you call the how many Lexi you've got in your driveway. I have nothing against Lexus. Yeah. The what you call the Rabbeinu Bachya has a different parish on it. What does he say? Tachas Asher Lo Avarata Hashem Lekecha Simcha V'tuv Leivav Mirov Kol. So you see the Rabbeinu Bachya inside here. This is very important. Yashimenu akosov. We are indicted from the psukim. Ba'avdu Hashem Yisbarach v'lo haisa avoda b'simcha. When we did mitzvahs, we didn't do them b'simcha. He says that's what the pasuk means. In other words, we deserve the punishment, right? We deserve the punishment, God forbid, of the tochacha, because we weren't ovid Hashem b'simcha. We didn't do mitzvahs b'simcha. A person has to ingrain himself, teach himself, understand, yeah, that when he's doing the mitzvahs, this generates in him a sense of simcha. We've always talked about what the idea of simcha. Simcha is a sense of expansiveness, like tefach sameach, right, and tefach otzev. The happy handbreadth, the sad handbreadth, the happy handbreadth, the fingers are spread apart. Expansiveness. The sad handbreadth is where the fingers are constricted, right? A person has to realize that his true sense of expansiveness, his true sense of not just being locked into a box, into a cubicle, with nowhere to go, with no past, no future, no hope, etc. What gives him expansiveness are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs. Right? That's his ticket to eternity. That's his ticket to what he called to not being limited, but rather being unlimited. V'asimcha b'maasa mitzvos, mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. And not only should mitzvahs be done b'simcha, but when a person is b'simcha in his mitzvahs, not only is the quality of his mitzvah better, but he gets reschar for the simcha itself. Because that shows that he's plugged in, he's connected to the Rabbanu Shalom, he's got his head screwed on straight. Milvada schar sheishol al mitzvah yishol schar al simcha. In addition to the reward he receives for the mitzvah, he receives reward for the simcha. Not what we call mitzvahs anashim lumada, where people do mitzvahs by rote. Right? By rote, why do I do it? Because I did it yesterday. Why do I do it yesterday? Because I did it the day before. Because that's what, you know, that's what people do. There's a person that has to plug his simcha in. Val kein yanish mekan l'misha ovid avodas ha-mitzvah kishlo asa b'simcha. V'lechach tzorech sh'yasa odem ha-mitzvos b'simcha u'bekavon ha-shleima. Therefore, person, people, have to do the mitzvos b'simcha u'bekavon ha-shleima. With simcha and with complete kavon. V'chein amru b'medrash rus. Ilo ha-yodea ruvein sh'akadosh baruch hu machtiv alav. V'yishma ruvein ha-tzileinu miyodam. It says in the Medrash in Rus, that if Reuven had known that they were going to write about him in the Torah, which is all Hashem's names, they could write about a person named Reuven, the son of Yaakov, the grandson of what he called of Yitzchak, the great-grandson of Avram, that he saved his brother Yosef, he would have grabbed Yosef, not just thrown him into the pit to save them, save him from being killed, he would have grabbed Yosef and put him on his shoulders and run home with him. But we don't realize, right? We don't realize that everything we do is being written down for eternity. It's part of the book. It's part of the book.
It has been written down.
He didn't know the time was going to be written down. He's saying, had he known that it was going to be written down for eternity, right? Part of the Chumash, right? Part of the Torah, which the Ramban teaches, are all names of Hashem.
That what will be written down, it already was written down.
Again, but he caught, he didn't know it was going to be written down, right? It was written down, let's put it this way. If he hadn't done that, it would have been written differently in the Chumash. If he hadn't done it, it wouldn't have been written down that way. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's all Hashem's name. It's all got all the possibilities. Like we discussed last week, they're all there. They're all there. A person's Bechira determined, right? Right. So it's going to, that determines how it's going to be written down. So if he'd known it had been written down, he would have been overjoyed about it, and he would have done even more than that which he did.
That
would have been right. But he didn't realize that. And so too, it brings down Aaron HaKohen. Even though Aaron HaKohen greeted Moshe Rabbeinu, overcame his own, what do you call it? He was being displaced as leader of the Jewish people. But if he'd known that in the Chumash, that it's going to say about him, Rachav Samach Velibo, that Aaron is going to see Moshe, and even though Aaron has been with the Jewish people throughout all the years of privation, and now who's going to take him out? Moshe's going to take him out. He's going to leave him, not Aaron. So that's real cause for being jealous. But he wasn't. He saw him, and the Chumash said, wrote about him, he saw his brother, and he rejoiced in his heart. But had he known that was going to be written down, had he been plugged into the idea that it was going to be written down, he would come out not just and been rejoiced in his heart, he would come out with a brass band. And so do Boaz. If Boaz had known that he was going to write about him in Megillus Rus, that he gave a little bit of what he called of barley, right, to Rus to eat, what he called, etc., to take home, yeah, to, for herself and for Naomi, if he knew it was going to be written down for eternity, he would have given her a 7-course meal. But we don't realize that, and it's the same thing is also true by us. The Medrash continues over there. Who signs off on what we write, right? I think he brings down Mashiach, what do you call it, Eliyanavi, Kaviyachal or Boru Shalom. They sign off, I think it says in the Medrash, right? They sign off of what we wrote. So that's the Simcha B'Mitzvos. Another way to understand the Pasuk, Simcha B'Mitzvos. The joys of the classroom. Okay, BH. Okay, the last thing, Simcha and Tshuva. This is a Reb Tzadok, I'm going to synopsize it. He says as follows. This is a very interesting idea. It's a very important idea. He says, we know the klal is...
Who is this?
Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Tzadok of Lublin. Right? He lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He initially was not a chassid, and he became a chassid. He became a Talmud of, right, of the, no, much later than that. Talmud of the Mei Shiloach. Right. So in any event, he says as follows. It's a fascinating idea. The general rule is, a bal tayer, a person wants to purify himself, misayin lo, he gains aid from Shamayim. Right? And Chazal teaches that Hashem says, open for me an aperture, right, like the size of the point of a needle, and I in turn will open for you a pesach, I will open for you a doorway as wide as the entry to what he called into the Beis HaMikdash.
What is goes under the category of purifying?
When you want to fix yourself, when you make yourself better, when you want to, you know, stop your record your bad habits, right? When you want to stop your bad, I rest my case. When you want to stop your bad habits, right? When you stop your bad habits, etc. You want to be retire yourself. You want to purify yourself. So it says, "Habolatayer, Messiah, so they ate him from heaven." And when, interestingly enough, he says, "You when Chazal say." Pischuli pesach kechudo shomachat. Open for me an aperture the size of the point of a pin, of a needle, and I in turn will open for you a doorway as wide as that of the ulam. Right, went into the what he called the Beis HaMikdash, went into the heichal. He said, it doesn't happen like this. Like, you know, like we think we say, okay, Hashem, sorry. I said sorry. How come I don't feel holy yet? Let's try it again. Sorry. I still don't feel holy. What's going on? Is something? Well, I tell you, the cell phone service upstairs is really rough. Cell phone service, right? It's not working. He says, no, that's no way it works. What happens is, bal atayer misayin oso. You want to cleanse yourself, so then they aid you. What's that aid? What do you call it? A spirit of purity begins to rest upon you. Then you're further inspired, and you go do more. And then you receive again, and you're further inspired, and you receive more, and you're further inspired. So that way, when you go on that continuum, that cycle, that loop, right, around and around, you started off with just a little thing, and at the end, they've opened for you, right, there's something as big as the entry to the ulam. He says, so why is it doesn't always work for people? Chazal say, this is such an unbelievable insight, Chazal say, that the Rishayim are mleim charotos, they're filled with regrets. Rishayim, they have tons of regrets floating around in the catacombs of their mind. I don't understand. Bal atayer misayinus. The minute that they would have thought that they came to be mitayer themselves, so they should have gotten the divine aid, and that should have inspired them further, and they in turn mitayer themselves more. And so why they remain Rishayim? They have charotos. It's not like they're absent and vacant of charatos. They have charatos. Why doesn't it go anywhere? He says, because when a person does that, that's when the kitrug of the satan comes. The kitrug says, why does a person deserve this? Now, this is the way I understand that. What does it mean, the kitrug of the satan? We shouldn't think, right, that the kitrug of the satan is that, you know, now I'm trying to do this, and satan says, why do I deserve it? And then I lose out, and then I stuff like buckwheat. How does it work? Chazal teach us that Hu HaSatan, Hu HaYetzer HaRa, Hu HaMalach HaMaves. It's all three the same guy. The Satan is an angel. The Yetzer HaRa is the way he speaks inside of us, like a ventriloquist, right? And the Malach HaMaves, we know who the Malach HaMaves is, right? We should not don't have
it. It's all the same.
Right? It's all the same. That's what I said. Hu HaSatan, Hu HaYetzer HaRa, Hu HaMalach HaMaves. All three the same. And the way that it works ordinarily, the way that it works ordinarily, is I see something, the Yetzer HaRa says to me, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, right? I listen to him, then the Satan indicts me, says, look what he did, right? And then if he wins the indictment, then the Malach HaMaves takes whatever he's entitled to take, as much or as little as he's entitled to take. God forbid, either the whole shebang, or whatever, right? You shouldn't have to know from it. So I think that what it means over here is that the Satan is Mekatrek. What does that mean? Since the Satan and the Yitzhahara, or they're all the same, once the Satan is Mekatrek, he whispers to the Yitzhahara and says to him, tell him he doesn't deserve it. Tell him he can't do it. Tell him he can't do it. Tell him there's no point. Tell him he can't change. Tell him to give up. That's what the Yitzhahara does. That's what stops the cycle. That's what stops the cycle. What stops the cycle is because really a bulletar of a sinusoid. You want to cleanse yourself, you should automatically get that divine inspiration from above that should inspire you to do more and more and more and more and more until eventually you become Baal Tshuva. So why is it the Rishayim were full of Charatas don't do it? Because they listen to Yetzirah. Yetzirah says, you can't do it, it can't be done, there's no point, you are who you are, forget about it, right? Call it, don't be a dreamer. So we don't do it. Says Reb Tzara, the antidote to that.
You know, also a person's desire.
We're talking about where the guy had charata. That's a pure thought. We're not talking about
he doesn't want to continue.
Why doesn't he want to continue? Because he doesn't think there's any point in it.
No, he had it up. He's happy.
Not true.
Not
true.
What
I can't do it.
He doesn't become an Arizal. He doesn't become.
Because he doesn't think he can be it. He doesn't want to because it's record. He does. No, that's not true. Why has he got charata then? Why does he regret? He knows he's messed himself over. He knows he's messed himself over.
He wants to be true at a certain level, and he wants to be sorry. He doesn't want to become
again. If he wants, at that moment, he should ignite the spark upstairs, which should descend upon him, which should cause him to light another spark. Why doesn't it happen? He doesn't recall. The reason he doesn't want is because he doesn't think it really is applicable to him. He doesn't think he can do it. He gives up. Because charata always has got in it, yeah? It's always got in it. What do you call it? I regret doing it. I'm such a piece of garbage. Garbage can't go anywhere. It stays in a bin. Right? So says Reb Tzadok, he says the antidote to that is that a person has to always sandwich in his sense of regret, his bitterness over his failure, he has to sandwich it in between simcha, don't start up, simcha and trust in Hashem. Simcha and trust in Hashem, that Hashem loves him, Hashem wants him back, and Hashem wants to help him.
What is he putting in the sandwich?
His regret and his bitterness. His regret and his bitterness over his failure. He has to make sure that he gives it a prologue of simcha and trust in Hashem, that Hashem wants him back and Hashem loves him and that he can do it. And Hashem is going to help him do it. Simcha and bitachon b'Hashem, he needs a prologue of that. And then after, as it were, he addresses his regret and his bitterness, he has to give it an epilogue of simcha and betichus b'Hashem, of rejoicing and trust in Hashem. He says, and that is, we see in front of us, that's what happens on Rosh Hashanah, because on Rosh Hashanah, that's the main time of the kitrug of the Satan, that is seen in Sefer Iyov. The whole story, the beginning of Sefer Iyov, all starts on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the Satan says, you think you have such a hot shot, let's see, etc. And the remedy to it, he says, is just like we find in the pattern of the shofar. The shofar is tkiah, which is a blast of simcha, straight. Then after it comes the trua, or the shvarim trua, which are sounds of crying, of remorse, right? Of regret, of that sense of bitterness, of what he called of my failure. And it concludes afterwards with another blast, right, of tkiah. Prologue of simcha and trust in Hashem, epilogue of simcha and trust in Hashem, the bitterness sandwiched in between, and then a person is successful. Then he doesn't listen to his Torah. So we talked about a few different things of simcha here, and I think it, Bitz Hashem, will serve us in good stead. Good Shabbos.